Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us today on Defining the Dash podcast. It is our pleasure today to have a very special guest with us. We're excited about this. Several of you have actually asked when we was going to have Brother Randy Webb on the podcast and why we hadn't done so already. And so today you will get to hear from my pastor and my friend, Brother Randy Webb. Brother Randy, it's so wonderful to have you in studio with us today.
Oh, it is great. Great to be here, Brother Chad. Looking forward to our conversation.
It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to hearing some of your answers to these questions. Brother Mark is out of studio today. Lord willing, he'll be back with us real soon. So you all will have to bear with me as I fumble my way through these questions. But I'm sure Brother Webb's going to bless you with what he has to say. Brother Webb, to start with, we would just like to hear a little bit about your testimony and your background, maybe your childhood, what it was like growing up and things like that.
All right, yeah, if I can remember it. I was born a mountain boy in Jewel Ridge Mountain, in a loving, caring, provided for home, and with a godly mom that prayed with me and for me, taught me right, and priceless experience.
Yes, sir.
But church attendance, really, Brother Chad, was not part of my childhood for various circumstances. And right. But we were provided for and cared for, and a lot of my preaching is illustrations from my home. My home life, things that sticks with you, but I'm so glad to be a Virginia boy and a mountain boy, and,
yes,
and to heard about Jesus from my sweet little mama.
Yes, sir. She was a precious lady, that's for sure. And about what age, Brother Webb, was it when you, I guess, first came to know the Lord or, you know, for yourself, had that, develop that experience yourself?
Well, of course, the awareness, you know, knowing that there was a God and a Christ, his son, you know, was always part of my mentality, of course, being, you know, taught by my
right.
mama.
Yeah.
But my own experience, my personal experience with sweet friend Jesus was, you know, just a night in November of 1975. I was 19 years old, and at the end of my earthly efforts that I'd made for peace and forgiveness, and I just turned it over to Christ. Best decision I've ever made in my life by far.
Yes, sir. And how long after that was it when you felt the call to preach, when God started dealing
well,
with you?
Well, saved it in the November of 75, and then you know, February of the next year, 76, I received the baptism, and it was right in there I began to feel a divine drawing to share what I'd received and what the Bible was teaching me with others. So I would say probably less than a year after I got saved that I started feeling you know, the unction or the drawing or the calling as I think back on it, I'm liable to get a little happy here. I don't know.
Well, that's all right.
Pardon me just a little bit, but I still remember those first experiences, boy, and saved my life and put me into the ministry that such a shock to me and about everybody that knew me.
And it just goes to show you, really, that a change in one person, for the good or for the bad, really has an effect on all those around them.
So true.
You know, and
so true.
Well, how long after that that you was called to preach? I know you was 19 when you got saved, and shortly after that you was called to preach. And about how long after that was it when you and your family came to Keene Mountain, and how did all that come about?
Well, it was in the fall, September of 1983. that I was asked to pastor the church there at King Mountain, and I was just evangelizing and preached for them and in the area. I was 26 years old, and they expressed an interest there, the body there at the church, that surprising to me that they wanted me to be their pastor. And it took me several weeks really to fast and pray and preach and share, but those people loved me and wanted me, and they had already prayed through about it, I guess, and was just waiting on me to pray through about it. And after several weeks, definitely God let me know that if I would listen, that he would talk to me.
That's wonderful.
And he told me that that was my life's work, and it has been 40 years.
Yes, sir.
40 years.
I was around 14 months old at that time.
Well,
so that's right. Not making you feel old, brother. Not trying to, but
yeah, you gave me a lot of trouble. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
But you've been my mentor and my hero that long. So that's you've been a blessing, brother Webb. You really have. And now, looking back to the days, you know, prior to you getting saved, and then even when you did get saved, and the trials that you faced then, you know, technology is a great thing, but we have technology now that we didn't have then.
Oh yeah.
And things have progressed, and well, we say progressed, but they've gressed. Sometimes I think things have went downhill a whole lot. And so how do you think things have changed today in regards to trials and temptations that our young people face? Because that's a big part of this podcast, is always focused towards our young people.
Oh, yeah, great.
And trying to help them. And
yeah, that is great. It does seem overwhelming, Brother Chad. Of course, you know, in my day, being raised in the 60s and 70s, I guess my parents thought, my goodness, what I was having to go through, because it changed a lot then too. But it is incredibly, I mean, Satan is, you know, as the old book said, he's alive and well, I guess, on planet Earth, but his days are numbered.
Yes, they are.
But I, of all the enemies, Satan's always hated young people.
He has.
And so he's zeroed in on them from the beginning of time. And God has made provision for, even in this wicked day, that sin and rebellion and so many different inventions by the enemy right in these children's face.
Yes, they are.
And so they have to have the tools to resist and fight and overcome. Yes. And God provided it all.
Yes.
And if we, for this new day, Brother Chad, we need old time religion.
Yes, sir.
That's exactly right. The power of the Holy Ghost, the absolute truth of his word, the loving fellowship of a good church, and our children can make it. I think the devil would love them to think they can't.
Yes, sir.
That they're overwhelmed. That it's beyond them. But, brother, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us.
Amen to that. And it's the same answer, same old answer for a brand new evil.
That's right.
I mean, it really is.
It's so true.
And, well, do you have any tips for kids that may have a heart for ministry, or just a maybe they're just searching, trying to think of how to say this exactly, but maybe they're just searching for their place, in finding God's way.
Yeah, that's a great question. God does have a purpose for every kid's life. Every kid's
yes,
life.
Yes, sir.
And that's the journey. That's the search. Is to, but I guess a tip you'd say would be, is to just let God do it for you. Seek you first the kingdom of God, and all these things are added, and to get a hunger for him, because the Bible said, "To hunger and thirst shall be filled." And you know, a desire is you're halfway there, but that's not all there is to it. But it is following the call and inspiration of the Spirit. And of course, to do that, they'll have to be alone with God, and they'll have to spend time, and they'll have to be sincere and earnest and choose the right life. And it's in their hands, really, but God's waiting for them. Yeah. And if they'll just let the Lord lead them along, and he won't rush them, and he won't ask them to do anything, and he won't go there with them. But Lord, I'd love to see every young person on fire for God, trying to win one of their friends or relatives to the Lord. It'd be awesome.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
It'd be great. And what did you being called to preach as a young man? I know you was working a public job, and mm-hmm. and you were you talked about the reaction.
Oh yeah.
Or you've talked about in your sermons the reaction that your bosses had and different things. Yeah. Did you face a lot of opposition from the change that took place?
Yeah, of course, the change. It was traumatic for me for a few weeks there till everybody got adjusted, you know. But you know, when Brother Jed, when I got saved, and my parents, family, friends, siblings, they all saw a change in me. And I honestly say, when I felt called to preach, even my loved ones that weren't even saved thought, go for it. I mean, they were not. I think they were just glad I wasn't in prison. You know what I mean? and I never had any. My father at the time wasn't saved, and I won't go into all. But boy, I never felt one thing. And you know, a lot of those old buddies I had, you know, I was into sports and all of them. And honestly, I'll say, and they were wild, just as wild as I was. But they never, honestly, they never mocked. They never made fun. They just said, man, I hope you can do it. Of course, you know, he's a big devil. I've had a lot of opposition in the 40 years. But man, I tell you, we signed up for the fight, and we're on the right side. I know.
When I was in school, you know, you felt like, you know, going to public school and trying to live right and things. It's hard, but it can be done.
Yeah.
And I had kids that made fun of me and things. You know, where my dad's son's the King Mountain Brothers. Oh, yeah. They'd make fun of the King Mountain Brothers. Yeah. They'd do anything they could that they thought they was going to get a rise out of me. You know, they would do it. But then when trials came and they was facing troubles, they would always come to me and say, hey, I've messed up. Will you pray about this?
It goes. Yes, sir.
And of course, you know, in a way it was frustrating, but in a way that was God giving you an opportunity to witness, you know.
Absolutely.
Since then, I've been able to talk to some of those guys, and they're like, you're still going to church, you know. And some of them's been to church lately.
Oh yeah.
And it's amazing just the you know, what God can bring you through in those shapes. Yeah. So young people, if you're listening and you are facing something like that, hold to God, even if it feels like you're standing alone, because He will bring you through it.
He sure will. He sure will.
This is probably an odd question, but what were some of your main obstacles in trying to follow God's will? Like maybe when you was first starting out, there's obstacles all along our lives sometimes.
Yes.
And but what?
Well,
you know.
Well, I'll say this: when I got saved, my life in sin was such a burden.
Right.
And I got sick of it.
Yeah.
And so when I got right. And I know it's you said it's an odd question. This may be an odder answer. But when I got right, I was so free and so thankful. I don't care if the Lord told me to walk a barbed wire fence with bobcats on my back. It wouldn't have mattered. Wow. I was so glad for the transition and the change. And you know, I had to get down. I went through depressions. Yeah. I went through persecutions, disappointments. Sir. Poverty.
Still there, ain't
it? Oh, yeah, it's all there. But I'm going to just tell you, when it compared to that peace of God, I thought, boy, this ain't nothing. compared to that old sinful life I lived, right, when I didn't know if I was going to go to hell or not. And I tell you, I just look around and look at all this and say, all of this in heaven too.
Yeah.
I tell you what, the yoke is easy and the burden is light, Jesus yes. said. And I know that's true. And, you know, there's nothing to compare with being born again and being a child of God and having Christ as your best friend forever.
Amen. That was one of the things that always kind of cracks me up is people will say that they're not going to come to church because they're not getting into that bondage.
Oh my.
And you look at them and they're
bound by everything.
They're bound by everything. They're pierced and they're marked and they're
terrible.
Their life is bound by drugs or alcohol and their family split and they're yes. and they're, you know, they don't see that that's not freedom. You know, that's bondage.
No.
And this is a question I hadn't run by you before.
Go ahead.
How, and I know a lot of people bound to be wondering about this one, with all the sermons you preach, with all the places you preach every year, and all the people you've been in front of, how do you get over being nervous? Or do you still get nervous after all these years?
Yeah, I'm still waiting on that. I'm still waiting on that. But I'll tell you, I don't know. There's, of course, there's nothing like the anointing.
Right.
And if it's hard to explain that unless
yeah.
someone has experienced. It's hard
right.
to put that
Absolutely.
In words.
Yeah.
But I'm always, when I first had to go before a larger crowd, I would get sick. I couldn't hardly leave the room. And but once you give yourself to God in that spirit, that anointing, the quickening that comes and the flow of the message God wants you to give to those people. I tell you, God loves preaching.
Yes, he does.
And I'm telling you, he'll fix you up, whatever it takes to get that message out, whether it's heal your body, clear your mind, whatever, whether it's give you gas money to get there. He loves preachers and preaching. And so that's how you say, how have you done this? How have you made this? And it's pretty simple, really. It's just the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
It's the unmerited favor that he called me out, he gave me the word, he gives me the anointing,
yeah.
And all he wants me to do is be faithful.
Yes.
And you can't make it on your own.
No, sir.
And really, school is good, and reading is good, and all that's good. But if God don't anoint you, it's going to be a pretty dull light. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure. That's what... One of my kids came to me today and said, "Daddy, I know schoolwork's important, but that just gets you through life." He's like, "But the Bible, now that's what matters.
Yeah.
That'll get you through eternity."
There
you
go. Yeah.
I was like, "Yeah, but you still got to do schoolwork too."
Yeah, you got to learn to read that thing.
Yeah, you got to learn to read your Bible. If you don't learn to, you know, read, you ain't
not gonna, a bad thought though.
Yeah,
not
a good thought. Good way to try to get out of it. You know.
Yeah.
But. And well, let me ask you this one. What is your favorite song?
Oh my. I'm not, to be honest, you listen, these podcasts will improve after this one, but I tell you, I have a favorite.
Right.
But not a particular favorite.
Right.
What I have in a song wise is it has a gospel message or encouraging message.
Yeah.
And it's anointed with the sweet spirit, kind of like the psalmist.
Yeah.
You know, that breaks that bond and gives people, those are my favorite songs. It
yes.
don't matter if a adult's singing it, a kid's singing it, or a bird's singing it. If it's, you know, if it's wholesome and gospel And, you know, hey, look, if it's on key, good. If not, it still could be good, you know, because I sing some, and so, but I don't really have a favorite song. Lots of, hundreds of, thousands of them.
Right.
And same thing with, you know, like you said, scriptures and favorite scripture.
Yeah.
You know, I could say it's you know, I love to eat, so I could probably say that's the best I ever had till I ate the next meal. And that, you know, and that's the way it is with scriptures. I mean,
they're situational.
It's kind of like it's just the word of God and worship and the singing. I'm telling you, God's got this set up, and I'm telling you, you can't improve on it, and it won't, it never fails.
Yes.
And but my favorite is what God ordains and allows us to participate in.
This is bouncing back and forth a little bit.
Sure.
Well, before I go to that one, let me go ahead and get this one. What about a favorite author that you like reading?
Oh, same thing. I can mention a few. You know, my favorites. I don't always read. I hardly ever read. Just I read my Bible to get a sermon, and I read my books to help the messenger.
Right.
if I make the preacher. Yes. And but now commentaries and men's ideas about just opens things up, and of course I've always been a reader, and I'm not still very long. I always keep a book in the car, and one by my bed and one by my chair, you know, I could mention a few authors, but there's hundreds of them, to be honest with you. And, and really, if someone listens to this and has one that they would love for me to try, they can mail it to my address. Just give them my address. They can mail it back, paperback, hardback, it don't matter. Yeah. But I'll give it a try.
You'll read them either way.
That's right.
Well, we talked about when you came to Keene Mountain, mm-hmm. and how you started pastoring and everything, but
yes, sir.
Another question was, how did the school at Keene Mountain come mm-hmm. about?
Well, actually, the Christian education in the area came in the area in the early 70s. And I think Brother Jack Keene was the pastor there. And along about 1980-81, that's when he was there, is when they started the school and bought all the equipment and got going. I think they had it a couple of years before I came in 83, and my oldest daughter was in the second grade, and my oldest son, old Nath, was kindergarten, and we had 19 students.
Wow.
And so it was wonderful staff, and people had a burden for it, and man, it's been such a blessing to us, especially in this wicked hour. You know, it
yes.
gave us an opportunity, and I really feel, you know, compelled by God to have a place for our kids to learn.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
absolutely. This next question, we always try to tell our listeners, especially the youth, and we know we push this in the Sunday school class there at the church and mm-hmm. and everything. When I'm talking to the boys in my class, is that I try to push the importance of developing their own prayer life.
Oh yeah, that's
you know, great. Whether it's so 5 minutes several times a day, if it's you know, ever how they want to do it, but it's important that they get used to and develop their own prayer life. And how would you say that, and us sitting here in this room, it would be easy for us to say how prayer really impacts your life.
Mm-hmm.
But in your words, maybe talking to someone that didn't really understand that, how would you say prayer has impacted your life, and how important it is for someone to develop a prayer structure yes. in their life as a Christian, and yes. and how it's going to help them.
Yeah, when I think of the value of prayer, mm-hmm. I think an illustration that comes to mind is it's like breathing for the natural man.
Yeah.
We don't think much about breathing.
Right.
But if we stop breathing.
And you'll know, yeah.
And you know, prayer's not really thought much of. But if we don't learn, we'll die.
Yes.
If we don't learn to pray, we'll die. If we quit breathing, and I know that's simple. I hope it's not too simple.
No, that's perfect. I think that.
And when you talk about Bible study.
Yeah.
It's like food.
Yes.
You know, you could breathe, but if you don't eat.
Yeah.
You're going to die.
Yes.
And I know that seems oversimplified, but the truth of the matter is, if we don't do the things that God has admonished us to do to stay spiritually alive, then we'll die.
Yes, sir.
And we'll say, well, what happened? And we could just do an autopsy. They quit breathing.
Yeah.
They quit eating. They quit praying. They yeah. quit reading. And then, and also, you know, I'm not going to expand on this, you know, right. But all the other, like going to church, you know, it ain't a take it or leave it.
No, it's necessary.
It's a necessity.
Yes, sir.
And boy, that's prayer. I guess, brother, and you've heard me in preaching probably yes. say that what God dealt with me the most intense about in my life with all the worldly things that I had hanging on me, the thing he dealt with me most was prayer. Yep. He would wake me at night or remind me because he loved me.
Yes.
And he didn't want, but we have to pray. We have to know our Bible and have fellowship.
Yes.
And you know, I think there's another point, and I know this ain't part of it. But,
no, keep going.
But we've got to reach out, too.
Yeah.
If we become stagnant and we become holier than thou, or we pray 2 hours a day and we want everybody in town to know it, then we're not doing any good.
Right.
But if we have that, I think Jesus said, go into the closet, shut the door in secret.
Yeah.
And if we'll pray in secret, he'll reward us openly.
Yes.
So if you're listening to a preacher and he really gets covered in anointing, you can count on some things. He's been in a prayer closet. He's suffered some, and he loves you. You can count that.
Yes.
And so, prayer and fasting and studying and is not too glamorous. You know, young people may say, "Well, tell us something a little more exciting." Huh. But really, if they'll try this.
Yes.
It'll be the most wonderful thing in their life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, that brings us to the end of today's episode. And we hope that you've enjoyed it so far and that you'll tune in next week with us as we hear the remainder of Brother Webb's testimony. And until we join up with you again then, may God bless you. Let's keep on making it count. Thank you so much. When I win this war.